Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, March 17th, and I'm excited about tonight's show, but first let me remind you that our call-in number for comments and questions are 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399. You can also join Denise in the chat room as well if you have comments and questions, and Denise will be on later in the show to give us some beauty news. Just want to remind you all also that's listening, if you can mute your background, that would be great. Tonight's guests, just like my sister and I, are twin sisters from Baltimore, Maryland. And Rachel Blunt is in Baltimore. She's a hairstylist, salon owner, and an owner of a hair care line. And her twin sister, Robin Thompson, is a makeup artist and photographer in Miami. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hello.
Hey.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. We'll just want the two of you just to jump right in and just introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got started in the area that you're in.
Robin, you go first.
Okay. Well, my name is Robin Thompson, and I am, like you said, from Baltimore, Maryland. Rachel is my twin. I moved to Miami about 10 years ago, and I did makeup. I was a makeup artist. And about 6 years ago, I started my career as a photographer. So I'm still a makeup artist, but my makeup artistry has taken a backseat to my photography. And that's pretty much what that pretty much sums it up.
Robert, where did you start making? Did you start your makeup in Baltimore or in Miami?
I started in Baltimore. Okay. I started when I was 20, and mm-hmm. I would worry the hell. I was, like, obsessed with the girls at the MAC counter, you know, when they first started out. All the girls were so pretty, and their makeup looked so good, and I just used to go up to the counter, and I was so obsessed with them and how they looked that I would go up to the counter every day, and I would ask the girls to show me something new, you know, with the makeup, and that's actually how I got started. So I started buying eyeshadows and buying mascaras and just building my kit. And before you know it, I actually started to work there. And I worked for MAC for about 5 years off and on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to Miami and I continued, you know, my career down here. And I would work on video sets and you know, sets, movie sets and things like that and photo shoots and stuff. So that's pretty what started my career in photography, is from being on the sets and stuff so much. I started to desire, you know, I grew a passion for it, and then I made that transition into photography.
So when you worked at MAC, was that at the Nordstrom or was that at the MAC store?
I was at Nordstrom because, remember, they started out at Nordstrom before they were anywhere else. So, yep, we had two counters in Maryland. We had one in Towson and one in Annapolis, and I was at the one in Annapolis, Maryland.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, Rachel.
Well, hi, everyone. I'm Rachel, and I actually started doing hair professionally in the year 2000. When I was a little girl, I used to, you know, do all of my doll's hair, my
girlfriend's hair in the neighborhood and things like that. I didn't know at a young age that I would want to do hair professionally, but as I got older, you know, I really, really loved doing hair and transforming people and making people look good. So I started working in the salon in 2000, and my clientele grew and grew over the years, and I decided to open a hair salon in 2006. And just from there, you know, my business has just really taken off, and I've worked with so many good and great people, even celebrities. So I really love what I do, and that's just pretty much how I got started, just from being young and playing with my dolls and, you know, the neighborhood people and stuff like
that.
You
guys started, you was doing hair in mommy's basement.
Right, I said from a young girl.
All of our friends coming over, they was lined up in the basement.
Yeah, they were. Like, I was in my Easter.
You gotta pay the electric bill.
Right.
So
I was in my Easter, like, in the house doing hair all day. I did it all day long. So that's pretty much what I know and what I love to do. So.
Now, Rachel, this is Denise. You have a hair salon,
hi,
correct?
Denise. Yes, I do. It's called Salon Roche. It's in Baltimore, Maryland, downtown Baltimore, and I established my salon in 2006.
Oh, okay. Just so that everyone will know how we discovered these ladies, I'm big on Instagram, so I discovered these
Same
ladies
Instagram.
From Instagram. And so it took me a minute to figure out that you all were sisters because I didn't, you know, I had no idea you knew each other until, I started seeing some photos and then, you know, I would see you mention Robin and then I'm like, wait a minute. And then I looked and I thought, oh, this is Robin. And I was like, oh, my God, this is somebody else. I was like, this is Rachel. I've seen Rachel.
That's hilarious.
I've seen Rachel before, but I had no idea that you all were twins. So when I discovered that, I thought, wow, this would be a great show.
Right.
That's
and we are
awesome.
Really supportive
are
of
like,
each other.
What
like,
right.
We are each other's biggest fans. Like, we shout each other out. It's like she's always on my lips. Like, I'm always talking about her. Robin, 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 Robin. And she does me the same way.
And likewise, we are each other's. What I don't want to say, but
you're my
that's
kryptonite.
My...
I always tell you that you're my kryptonite. Right? You keep me. She keeps me strong. So just her doing stuff and doing
kryptonite
her photos, she just
keep
makes
you
me
strong.
Want to go
kryptonite
home.
Kryptonite weakens you. Kryptonite
no,
weakens
but I,
you though.
I don't. I'm like, baby, you know, I always use that. I don't look at it as though it weakens me.
But kryptonite
and the,
is not
and the truth.
A good come.
In the true twin fashion.
Yes,
right.
The little small disagreements begin out of nowhere.
Yes, oh my God. We are constantly disagreeing about something. We are always going at it, but then 5 minutes later, we're like, oh, I love you.
Right,
I
like it never
you.
Happened.
You know? Yes, like it
right.
never happened. It's so annoying, especially for like her husband and my boyfriend. They're like, sometimes they'll be sitting at the table and they're like, what in the hell just happened? Right. Yeah. We're actually meeting up in Atlanta on Tuesday because we have some work to do there. So I'm excited to see her.
I'm excited to see
her.
Oh, wait a minute. You two are going to meet up in Atlanta.
Yeah. I have to work on some shoots with her. She has some shoots, so we're going to work. We do a lot of work together, so, you know, we have some work to do there.
Oh, no. Well,
how long are you going to be here?
Just a day, in and out. We'll be leaving on the following morning, so I'm here. Just
okay.
A day.
Okay.
Interesting.
So Instagram. Let's talk about Instagram for a second. Isn't Instagram awesome? Oh, my God. See, I've never been a big Twitter person. This is Robin talking, by the way. I've never been a big Twitter person. Like, I'm not a big on Twitter. But Instagram,
wait,
oh, my
said,
God.
You said this was Robin?
That's Robin talking, yes.
Oh, my God. You sound just like Rachel Eric then.
I told you. I told you. Yeah, Instagram is awesome, especially if you're a big visualizing person. I'm big on visual. Like, I love to see pictures and just interesting things. Like, I love to follow, like, all the fashion blogs. I follow all photographers, makeup artists. That's, like, who I'm hairstylist. My
well, Robin, answer this question. Since you're a photographer,
yes.
I mean you are a makeup artist, but they kind of took a back seat. Your sister is a hairstylist. As a photographer,
yes.
What do you look for in a makeup artist and a hairstylist?
I look
when
for
you're trying to find someone.
I look for very clean work,
mm-hmm.
very clean, very polished. I'm a very clean, fine line. I like polished hair, not too much, not anything too over the top, just very clean work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody that can execute a job and just do a really nice job at it, like a really clean job, you know.
Now, do you see a lot of the over-the-top looks? The things that you don't want. Do you see a lot of that on Instagram?
I don't. You know, I follow who inspires me. Like, I follow people who motivate something in me. So I don't see a lot of it. If you know, I'll follow some people, and if they post some stuff I don't like, I just unfollow them.
But I
don't mind over the top. It's just a time and a place for it. You know what I mean? Like,
gotcha.
My work is very simple. It's very clean. I don't do a lot of things that are over the top. But in some cases, if it calls for that, then, you know, that's fine. But I just like somebody that knows what they're doing, you know?
Right.
That's it. But we all have a taste. And everyone has a preference. So I guess it all depends
right.
on what your preference is. Some people like over the top. Some people like very subtle. Some people like in the middle. You know, I guess it's all in your preference. Me, I like clean. You know, I like, if you're going to do a pop of color, let it be a pop of color. I don't want something that looks like a peacock all over somebody's eye. You know, like, I don't want green, yellow, blue, all that. No, that's no.
Right.
You can display your talent without slapping a whole bunch of colors in somebody's eyes.
That's true. Yeah. That is so true.
Now, when you're taking pictures, who are you taking pictures of? Are they models? Are they celebrities? Are they just everyday people? What's your clientele?
You know what? The biggest misconception about me is that I only shoot celebrities, and that's not true, because I get a lot of people who ask me, do you only shoot celebrities? Do you only shoot celebrities? No, I don't, but I am very picky about who I shoot. I don't shoot everybody. I don't shoot everyone, but my clients are clients. They're people who email me. And, you know, they ask about my rate, and there's no problem with it. And, you know, they schedule, you know, a photo shoot with me, and it's done, you know. But I don't take on every job. Certain jobs, I just, you know, I'm balancing my personal life, my family, my son. So certain things I just turn down because I don't want to overexert myself. And I want to keep me, myself, I want to keep it exclusive. I don't want everybody to feel like they can shoot me.
Gotcha.
Right.
So.
Well, Robin, I know that you have to kind of leave the show a little early, so you just, when you're ready, you just say that you're ready.
I just wanted to say this, and then I'm going to go. Anyone who wants to get into photography or makeup artistry, they all, you know, people ask me that a lot. If you want to get into makeup artistry, buy a kit. Buy makeup. Buy some brushes. Start doing makeup on somebody. If you want to get into photography, buy a camera.
Yeah, that's true.
Take some classes. That's how you start. That's how you get into it. It's not that
That's
hard.
True.
That's
right.
True.
Right.
Right.
It doesn't take much
research. You get a camera and you just start shooting.
Yeah, I started taking pictures of everybody, you know. I was taking pictures of my son, I was taking pictures of my friends, you know, then everyone from, you know, the modeling world that I used to work with, and then when everyone started to find out that I was doing it, everyone was like, oh, you got to shoot me, you got to shoot me. So it just, it was just a domino effect, and it just grew. Like, I did not expect to be where I am right now, you know.
So do you have a website?
I do. It's robinvphotography.com. My email is robinvphotography@gmail.com. My Instagram is Miss Robin V, and my Twitter is Miss Robin V as well.
Are you saying Robin E as in Edward?
V, no,
no,
Robin
as in
V as in, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's Veronica, but yes, V.
Oh, V, okay.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool. Well, we thank you, Robin, for your time. We really appreciate it.
Yes, no problem. Oh. Thank you so much for having me. Rachel, I love you so much.
I love you too.
Tuesday. I will see you
okay,
on Tuesday,
honey.
Okay? All right,
all right,
bye everyone. Thank you.
All right, thank
you,
Robin.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Okay, good night. Rachel, tell me a little bit about your clientele at your salon, the type of people that you service, and some of their, when people come to your salon, what are they looking for besides getting their hair done?
Okay, well, my salon is a very classy environment. I do a lot of business professionals. I do a lot of college students. I have a very good, diverse clientele. A lot of times they look to come to me for hair care because that's what I'm mostly known for. I know on my Instagram that I show a lot of weeds and stuff, but that's because of the hairline that I have. But a lot of my clients come to me because they want their hair style. One, they want their hair style really, really nice. But two, they want to make sure that they are getting the best hair care they can get possible. So my salon consists of four other stylists besides myself. And we have about four, we have four assistants also. So when you come in, everybody is really pleasant. Everybody is really sweet. We engage in our clients. We tell them what to do when they go home to take care of their hair also. So that's probably, you know, that's the kind of clientele I have, people that really care about their hair underneath.
So let me ask you this. So especially, excuse me, if you have natural hair, and you're coming in, and let's just say, you know, you wear weaves, and you're, you know, you're coming out of a weave, and you just want to give your hair that little, that break. Like, how long of a break, like, and let's say you want to go back into a weave, how long of a break should you give your hair? And then how do you maintain it on your own at home?
Okay. Well, a lot of my clients are African-American, and a lot of them work out. So that's really the main reason why a lot of the women wear weaves in the first place, because we know that with natural hair, you cannot really work out the way you want to, or you're going to walk around, you know, not looking as tamed as you want to. So what I suggest to my clients when they do wear weaves, one, I always say, if you're going to wear a weave, you have to choose. Either you're going to have a weave and no relaxer, or you're going to have a relaxer with no weave. That's those two combinations do not go good together. And the reason being is because the relaxer takes out all of your strength from your hair. So when you go and put the weave in with braiding and that tension, it breaks your hair off. So when you do come out of your weave, I always suggest that you give yourself a two to three week window without a weave. Because then that allows you to... that allows you to put back the moisture that your hair is lacking, you know, things like that. It just allows us to treat your hair, you know, just get, just make sure it's containing that, you know, that healthy look and feel.
Right. So when women, you know how some women will want to, like, relax their edges if they have a weave and they have that, leave their edges out? Could that be the reason why their edges break off so much when they have the relaxer on the edges and wearing the weave?
Well, that's one of the reasons. One of the reasons is because, you know, you don't, when you get a relaxer, it doesn't have to be bone straight. You can just kind of add a little to knock out that, that bushy curl. But a lot of the times, that's one of the reasons, but that's not the main reason. The main reason why women hair break off is because overstyling. Putting too much heat and just pressing on it too much. Like, when I talk to some of my clients, if I haven't seen them in a while,
they have to get up and go to work, you know, they're going to the gym, and the edges that they do have out, they're pressing on it too much. So that's what causes. And also, depending on the kind of stylist you go to, everybody don't know that, you know, women know that the tighter the weave they think is, the better, when that's really false. Actually, you can have a comfortable feeling weave without it being tight, and it won't come out. It'll stay just as long. And a lot of the time, stylists, they braid too tight, and that pulls your edges out also.
Right. Gotcha. Gotcha. Because, I mean, if you feel uncomfortable, like, you're, you know, your braids are going to come loose, I mean, you have, like, you can come back in a week or two just to get them tightened up if you needed to. Like, if you feel like the tracks are coming, like if it's a sew-in and you feel like it's not in there tight enough, you can, they can kind of maintain
that. A way to, yeah, you can. It's a way to do, the technique that we use in our salon, it's a way to do it. We call it don't overdo the weave. Like, a lot of stylists, they overdo a weave. And when we say that, we mean they are making it too tight. And you that's just not the way you want to do a weave. We do it pretty much in the middle, where it's comfortable and it's not, like, dangly, like it's going to fall out.
Right.
But really, that's the main reason why people here come out and they say, oh, a weave broke my hair off or something like that. It's just too tight.
Gotcha. Now, should someone get their ends trimmed, like once they come out of that weave, should they get their ends trimmed each time at that
Almost
point?
Almost definitely. When you take the weave out, you should definitely get your ends trimmed. You should definitely get a hydrating treatment, any kind of scalp treatment, something that's going to add moisture back into your hair. You should definitely be getting those things done.
Okay. And when a customer comes in and they complain that, you know, their scalp's dry. Like, how do you treat that? Do you just use, like, I know some stylists will use some type of, like, dandruff shampoo, some type of, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know if it's, like a menthol-y type.
Like a tea tree kind of, like, treatment?
Yeah.
Okay,
but sometimes I don't think it's all with dandruff. Sometimes I just think it's the wrong product.
Yeah. A lot of the times the products have sulfur in it or whatever, so that can make your hair really dry and flaky. If we have a client that is, like, overly oily, flaky, that kind of hair, we always suggest them go to a dermatologist, because sometimes we're just, you know, cosmetologists, so, and we just your stylists, but we don't know, like, all the medical things that you may need, like, a vitamin, you may need anything else that can contribute, and it also can come from your diet, too, having, like, dry scalp and stuff like that. But we just try to determine if it's something that is out of our hands, if it's something in our hands. At the salon, Salon Riche, we have a natural treatment that we mix up. The treatment includes, I can't tell you everything it includes, but it includes five different oils. I can tell you it includes avocado, and we blend it up, and we put that on our client's hair, and it really, really helps with the moisture and the dry scalp.
Okay.
What are some other things that some of your clients, like you said, they come for hair care. What are some of the other services that you offer at the salon? Do you?
Well, all of the services that everyone is really good at, you know, number one is the hair care. We do all extension services, from micro links to weaves, to glue-ins, to clip-ins, to tape extensions. We do closures. We do coloring. We do all sorts of cuts. We have a buffet of services that we offer at the salon. We do braids, all natural hair. We do a lot of things at the salon.
Do you... what inspired you to start your hairline? Is it does it have a lot to do with just, you know, clients wanting the weave and you just decided to carry your own hair, or was there any other reason?
It's several reasons why I started Celebutan.
one of the reasons that I decided to do Salabaton was from what you said. I am a salon owner, and a lot of the clients, the weave thing really became big to me in probably like 2004. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were getting hair from all sorts of places, and it was just the right thing for me to do for the salon because, you know, 50% of your business is from your retail product. So mm-hmm. I just thought it would be good for us to have, you know, the clients. It could just be a full service salon. You can come in and get everything done. The other reason why I decided to start Salabaton, I took a trip to India. I spent 48 hours in travel time to get there. I spent 14 days, you know, talking to the people. I went to the temples, and that's where Salabaton originally started. Even though the hair extension is a universal language, you know, everybody wears hair extensions, I still felt like it was more so dominated by the Asians and the Europeans. And as a black salon owner, we didn't really have a handle on, you know, being in the hair industry. Like, mm-hmm. it was pretty much dominated not by us. So I felt right. like, why not bring, you know, my own product out so that, you know, and I also offer, like, distributors can come and sell it, you know, that kind of thing. So I just felt like I wanted to have a place in that. I'm a hairstylist. Why not have a place in the hair industry, the hair retail industry? I just felt like it was right. the right thing to do.
Right.
Why do you think hair extensions, weaves, and clip-ons and all that, why do you think that is so popular now? Like, so many more people are doing it now than they were, let's say, 10, 15 years ago.
Well, I think it was like an underground thing. I think, mm-hmm. like, it's popular now, but I think it was something that just wasn't spoke of. Like I said, it's a universal language. Everybody and their mother wears weaves, from Christina Aguilar to Beyonce. Everybody wears it. So I think it's more accepted mm-hmm. now that, you know, we wear weaves. Like, remember, like, you know, when you would see Diana Ross, we know that she had a weave. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know. I thought that was her hair. No, she mm-hmm. had a weave. Like, so I just think that they also share wears weaves, you know. So I think that it was something that just wasn't spoke of, and now that people are really saying, like, I wear weave or I have extensions, or you can just sometimes tell. Mm-hmm. And it's just more on your face. So I think that's probably why it's more popular now. Mm-hmm. And that's actually how the Salabaton name came about, because my clients will always come to me and say, give me a picture and say, look, I want to look like this. I want to look like this celebrity. I want to look like that celebrity. So the name Salabaton is how I came up with that, because everybody wanted to say they wanted to look like a celebrity.
Right. and to do that, they had to have some hair at it, right?
Right. Well, that was most of the people. I need hair to create this or have this look. So
right.
Hey, I'm all for making somebody happy, so whatever you want.
So what's the difference between your clip-ons and your, like, the clip-on pieces and then, like, your sew-ins? Like, what's best for which client, like, which hair type?
Okay. Well, clip-ons and a weave, they are two different things, but it just all really depends on the client and their hair texture. If someone with fine hair texture, clip-ons may not work because you need it to attach to your root. It attaches to your root and it blends in with your shaft. So if you have really fine hair, the clip-on might not be best for you, you know. Hmm. As far as a weave goes, you can braid that up, sew it on, and go about your way. The only thing mm-hmm. is with a weave, that whatever style you choose, whether it's a part on the side or a part in the middle, you're not going to mm-hmm. have that much versatility as opposed to clip-ins.
Right.
Clip-ins, you can pop them in, pop them out, pop them on the side, pop, you know, you can do a lot with those. Put a braid in it, put a ponytail. You can do a lot of stuff. Like,
I don't know if you guys, you know, watch some of the reality shows, but Lala is a really good example of someone who does her clip-ins right. Like, she has a bun sometimes. Sometimes she has it down. Sometimes she has it in a braid. So it's just, that's pretty much the difference.
So if somebody had really coarse natural hair, they could go either way?
They can do either way, clip-ins or the weave.
So would you say, like, a Caucasian woman would be better off with a sew-in and not clip-ins?
No, because Caucasian people, they actually do more clip-ins than anything else. Like, some of them do braids. It just all depends on how fine texture they have. I mean, it's a way that you can do it. It's just I wouldn't suggest someone with finer hair. And all Caucasians don't have fine hair. Some of them have really, really thick hair. So it just all depends on what's going to look more natural for you. Someone with really thin hair and you put clip-ins, you don't want to – I don't know if you guys can kind of see some pictures and stuff, but I see a lot of people you can see right through their hair, and that's just not a good look. It's just not a good look. You can see the track of the clip, and, you know, it's just you have to go to someone that knows what they're doing, basically, that can advise you on the right extension to use.
So what would you say is the healthiest thing for any hair? Whether it's fine or coarse or whatever, what would the healthiest thing, what would be the healthiest thing to do for your hair?
But yeah, the healthiest thing for your hair is to, as far as like extension-wise,
or
just period? Okay. The most healthiest thing that you can do for your hair is no chemical whatsoever. That's really the most healthiest thing that you can do for your hair. And just treating your hair with, like, really good oils and conditioners and stuff like that, that's what really is healthy for your hair. I'm not saying that a weave isn't healthy, because actually, if done properly, a weave can be really good for your hair, because it kind of works as, like, a cocoon, like your hair is in hibernation. So your hair can grow with a weave if done properly. So pretty much, if you're a person that wears a weave, you're really not doing anything to your hair. You're not adding any chemicals. You're not doing anything. You're just putting your hair up for a break.
Got it. Now, how often should someone wear it? Like, if you're wearing a weave, like, you know, you take it out after, I would think about, what, 8 weeks?
You can do eight to 10 weeks is a good amount of time to have the weave in for. I'm going to tell you, anything over, I mean, I've had people have their weave in for almost 4 months, and that's a complete no-no, because your hair, it really is, I swear, because your hair is shedding. My hair sheds 100 strands a day, things like that. So,
it'll start to lock, won't it?
Like, I don't know what people be thinking sometimes. I don't know, but that's just not a good look at all. It's really not.
Oh, man. So if I...
You're laughing because I know that you know somebody that leave their weave in way too long.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's not
cool. Because I wear a weave for 8 to 10 weeks and then come out of it for at least 2 weeks, at least 2 to 3 weeks, and then go back into a weave. How long can I continue that process? Like, as long as I want, as long as I take it out after the 8 weeks?
You can continue that process. You can continue that process for forever. Like, I'm going to use myself for an example. I have really, really long hair. But, like I said, I'll work out. I have a really fast-paced life, and sometimes I just can't even be bubbled with my hair. So I have a little system going on. I do not wear my hair out in the summertime.
No.
I don't wear my hair out in the whole summer, because if I wear my hair out in the summer, my hair, it just swells up. So I just don't wear my hair out in the summer. I don't wear my hair out completely in the dead winter. I wear my hair out most of the time in the spring and the fall. So the winter, my hair is weaved. The spring, my hair is out. The summer, my hair is weaved. And the fall, my hair is out. So when the temperatures is kind of, you know, a little steamy, I don't wear my hair out. But when it's okay, a good temperature, I wear it out.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That makes sense. That makes sense.
So let me ask you, Rachel. So you're selling the celebutante hair and your salon. So is there anything else you want to do with that hair, that hairline? Where do you want to take it? What would you like to see happen with it?
Well, what I would like to see, I would like to see almost every celebrity with it, because I feel that my hair comes directly from India. As opposed, it's a lot of hair out here on the streets today, but a lot of it is processed hair. Like when you come from people saying, I got Brazilian, I have Malaysian, I have Peruvian, all these names that they're dropping right about now, most of it is from Asian manufacturers. And it's not pure hair. My hair is straight from the temples. I would like to see anybody that knows about quality and want to get their money worth out of it, I would like to see them in my hair. You don't even have to be a celebrity. You can be a regular business person. But if you know about quality and you want to get the best out of your money, I want to see you in my product.
So
I
want to
see a global thing.
So what is your product retail for?
It depends on texture and length. It can run you between what, texture and length?
No, 18 inches. How much?
Oh, that was someone asking. 18
inches was about. That was me
asking. I'm gonna say wavy hair. 18 inches is $180, and my hair lasts for a whole entire year. You can wash
and
it. You can dye it.
That's to do the whole head.
No, that's just for one bundle. Each bundle has 4.5 ounces in it, and like I said, it lasts for a whole year. You can wash it. You can dye it. You can wash it 10 times if you want to. You can dye it 20 times if you want to. As long as you take care of it, it's going to last you.
And you said that was 180?
It's about 180, yes.
Okay, Rachel, Denise is over here making deals. I'm trying to ask questions.
Wait.
Denise wants some hair.
Look, how much to do the whole head?
You need about 8 ounces, which is two bundles, and each bundle has 4.5 ounces, so you need about two bundles. Now, if you're getting something from 24 on down, like 24, 26, 28, 30s, you're going to need at least three packs.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So I've asked you about the hair. What about the salon? Where would you like to see your salon grow?
Oh, well, my salon is actually really growing. I'm getting ready to actually, I was trying to hold this information, but I'm so excited about it. I'm actually going to be opening a location in Miami. Maybe in like the fall it should be open and you guys will be hearing about it. So Salon Shay is definitely, you know, on the move. And also, for myself, I do a lot of freelance work where we do, the salon does tours. We call it a tour. And what
we do is, I was about to ask you about that.
Right. We just trying to spread the services of the salon around, because a lot of people don't live in Baltimore. And, you know, just from my Instagram page, I have a lot of people that ask me questions. I wish you were in New York. I wish you were in L.A. I wish you were in Miami. I wish you was in, you know, all these different places. And I've always wanted to do freelance work. And my favorite customer is the regular customer. That's my favorite customer. And that's what we do, the salon, the stylist at the salon. We travel around to different cities, and we offer our services. And that's what we're doing. So Salon Michelle is doing big things.
So you're going to continue to keep... when you open the Miami location, you're going to continue to keep the Baltimore location?
Oh, most definitely. Baltimore can't go anywhere. They can't go anywhere. Absolutely.
Okay.
And so will you be working out of both, or just you're going to have other stylists there and somebody else managing
that? Oh, I'm definitely going to be working out of both. My schedule entails right now I work 3 days a week, and the days that I do have off is when I do my freelance work. I just got back from L.A. I spent 3 days there working, doing hair there. And, you know, those are the days that I have off of the salon is the days I move around. So I'm pretty much going to be commuting. Just something I do now. So.
Right. Nice.
So let me ask you, because you travel around with your freelance work.
Mm-hmm.
How are, or maybe they're not different, but how are the women different in, as far as like hairstyles or what they come in the salon asking for? How are they different in Baltimore versus Miami versus LA versus some of the other places that you've worked in?
Well, the one thing that I've noticed in these different places that I would think that it wouldn't be a problem as far as hair care and styles and stuff like that, that's where the places are lacking. Like, I really can't believe it. I don't know if some of the people are just, like, in a box where the stylists, you know, just want to stick to the basics. But Baltimore, we are pretty, you have to, it's like a hair salon on every other corner, so you have to stay up on the trends, you have to stay up on your business. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have to provide your clients with whatever they need. If they want a braid going up into the sky, you have to be able to do that because the competition is endless. So
mm-hmm.
Everywhere else I kind of noticed, the other places I have been, the number one thing that has been lacking is hair care. That really—that's really what I see as the most common thing. Just from the places that I've been, like when you take someone's weave out, or most of the people that I do service when I do freelance, it is a weave
mm-hmm.
client. So when you take their hair down, their hair is like pretty much neglected. So that's one of the common things that I see. I just kind of want to bring the hair care back into play. Like, I don't
mm-hmm.
know if it's because we've been so far under, like, you know, wearing the weaves and things like that. I don't know if hair care has taken a back seat, but that's what it seems like to me. So a lot of times mm-hmm. when I do make a post on my Instagram page, which is Celebrity Tone Hair, at Celebrity Tone mm-hmm. Hair, when I do mm-hmm. make a post, I do like to let the clients know that it's not just about the weave, it's about your hair underneath. Like, you don't want to be like, I'm going to get you sucker. You remember how the girl took the weave off?
Right.
The wig off and her hair was completely gone. You don't want to be like that. There you go. Crazy.
So you're saying that one of the things that you've noticed just from traveling is that hair care is missing.
Yeah.
And it could, and I mean, and this could be true, too. It could very well be missing in Baltimore, but not at your salon.
Right.
Gotcha.
It could be, but it's just not at my salon. Like, I mean, I do get clients all the time that have been neglected, that has been neglected, but that's just really the most common thing that I see that's just been missing. Like, the hair care is just not there.
Yeah.
And why do you think that is?
I honestly don't. No, I think, I'm not going to say I don't know because I've witnessed this for myself. I'm going to speak on, like, weave clients. And, like, even with tracks, like, before the weave was big, people would, like, put the tracks in and snatch them out. And, you know, they just mm-hmm. kind of didn't care because you can always buy hair to add
mm-hmm.
on your hair if you messed it up or something like that. And as far
right.
as the weave, like, you know, sometimes clients disappear. They don't come back. You still have to come. Once you get a weave, you still have to come back to maintenance. You still have to come back to, you know, keep the upkeep. And a portion
right.
of your hair is out. So you do have to take care
right.
of that. Like, you can't just be missing in action, you know, because you have this long, luxurious hair walking around. You know, you still have to take care what you have, you know, still have, you know, still out.
Right, right.
So maybe that's the reason. Maybe people look at it like, you know, I can get this hair really quick and put it in. And, you know, maybe they just have a state of mind that's just neglectful. I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, and some clients, you know, if they get to the point where they can't afford to go to the salon all the time, then they'll
mm-hmm.
try to do their own hair. And I think that's where some people run into problems. I mean, some
right.
people, you know, are good about doing their own hair and taking care of it
mm-hmm.
and at least shampooing it, you know, when it needs to be shampooed and all that. But still, sometimes I think there's a certain element missing when you're not at the salon.
Yeah, I think it is. It's definitely something missing. Like, you know, I know that sometimes people feel like, you know, I can just do this at home. You should at least
Like, if you can't afford it, and I understand, like, you know, the struggle is real. I understand that you can't come every week or every 2 weeks, but at least try to check in at least once a month, just to maintenance, just to maintain it, because your hair is going to fall, something's going to fall short, and you don't want your hair to fall short. You just don't want that.
Right.
So, I mean, I understand that, you know, some clients can do their hair at home, or some people can do their hair at home, but you should at least go to a salon once a month to make sure that you're doing all you can do. And also just ask, you know, what products can I use at home, or, you know, can I get something from the salon to take at home, that kind of thing.
Right, right. But, you know, the thing is, though, you have to be willing, you have to be willing to spend the money, you know, even for the product. You know, so if you're not going
to be willing to spend the money,
you
do.
Really do. You really do. And if
you think about it,
you can't afford.
But if you, I understand that. But if you think about it, everything costs money. Like everything costs money. Any and everything costs money. Nails cost money. You know, keeping your teeth beautiful costs money. Keeping your skin right costs money. Keeping food in your body costs money. So you know, your hair is a part of your appearance. You know, and that that's one thing that makes us feel beautiful is our hair. Why not invest in that?
It doesn't have to be a weave. It could be your natural hair.
Right.
But, you know,
absolutely.
You still have to take care
of
it.
You still should take care of it.
Yep.
So, Rachel, you have the Celebutante hairline. You have the salon in Baltimore. The soon coming salon in Miami.
Yes.
What's next for Rachel, the hairstylist?
What's next for Rachel, the hairstylist? Hopefully, I might want to do some TV work. Maybe that might be the next thing on my checklist. Maybe some little reality show, something cute and funny.
Like actually doing hair on those shows?
Yeah, actually doing hair. Actually giving tips, you know, things like that, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we have enough of the hair care positivity on TV.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the reality shows, the hair reality shows that you see on TV. What do you think about? Okay. What do you think about? Let's see. Let's name some.
Oh,
you have.
What about Judge Delicious? I love that show.
Well, and then the Kim Campbell hair show. What do you think about some of those?
Well, the Judge Delicious show, I liked it in the beginning.
I thought
it was, you know, kind of cool, you know, to show, you know, the salon being busy and stuff like that. But then it kind of turned into their personal lives and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I stopped watching it once it started going in that direction.
Right. I think I liked it because it didn't involve their personal lives.
Right. I did, too. I did like that. But once it went that direction, I kind of stopped watching it. Kim Campbell, it wasn't on long enough for me to really gauge what was going on, but from what I can tell, she's really good at what she does. What other show was, I don't know any other show that was on. See, that's what I'm talking about. I don't know if they wasn't, you know, getting the right person or what, but the show just wasn't staying on long enough for you to get in front of them.
There is one in Chicago.
I cannot remember the name of that one.
Chicago-licious.
Wasn't it? That's what it was called, I believe. Chicago-licious.
Well,
the male hairstylist who owned the salon, I believe.
Yeah, I think they were touching on more of his personal life to me, too.
Yep, they
were. It wasn't about the hair. It was about his personal life also.
And then you know the Tabitha what was it, Salon Takeover
Tabitha
or something?
Takeover. That is I love that show. I love Tabitha.
Yeah. even though that was about all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? It had to do with the hair salon and whatever issue they had a problem with.
Right.
Yeah.
I really did like that show because they didn't filter her. They let her be whoever she was. All the cussing, and she was a little kind of unprofessional, if you ask me, but I loved it because, I mean,
everybody at some point is a little unprofessional. You kind of do want to talk to Mike, oh, beep off, you know, like, you
right,
know,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. But so I could really relate to her. I really liked the tale with the takeover. That was really good. It was entertaining too. But it still stuck to the core of what the show was about. It didn't just drift off into Tabitha at home fussing with whoever her mate is, or you know, that kind of thing.
Right. And, you know, I watched the Kim Kimball show, and her second season is coming up soon. But one of the things I wanted to ask, because, you know, you look at all of these reality shows, and, you know, they're different in some way or whatever, and they're alike in some way. But one of the things that I kind of take from those shows, and I wasn't watching it faithfully, but I was watching Kim because I know Kim, and one of the things that I was noticing is that there were some things that would go on, even with the Tabitha takeover, there were some things that would go on in the salon, and I would be like, you've got to be kidding. I can't believe, you know, that the salon owner would allow these things to happen. And so, now, you know, some of these reality shows may be scripted in some ways. The Tabitha takeover, I just assumed that this is what was really going on at these salons, and she was coming in to fix it. How do you deal with problems and issues in your salon and keeping a professional atmosphere?
Well, one of the things you have to do, I'm a stylist within my salon, so I do get the stylist perspective, and I also get the owner perspective. So, you know, a lot of the times when you're watching those shows, a lot of the owners have tapped out. They have tapped out. They are like, we're not making the money. I don't even care. You know, I'm not that person. I care about the clients that come in there. I care about the stylists. I care about my business. It has, you know, my name and my reputation on it. So I'm one of the people that do care. So it is a lot. It's things that go on in the salon. But the one thing I built my salon off of is a team atmosphere. The receptionist, to the stylist, to the assistants, to the clients, we are a team. We all want to see Salon Riche do well. We all want to see each stylist do well, you know, because if the money, if they're not doing well, the money is not coming in, your salon is going to fail, and the stylists aren't going to make any money. You know, the assistants can't make any money, and the customers are going to feel that. Like, they're going to get, they're going to feed that energy, they're going to get that energy, and they're not going to come back. So we basically try to keep a healthy environment. I'm not saying that some things, like I do ask, I say, you know, for the stylist, whatever's going on at home, please leave that outside the door. As soon as you walk in, take a deep breath and leave it outside. Do not bring it in here. I mean, sometimes we will have a family moment, a discussion, if something's really bothering somebody, but leave that stuff outside. Like, you got to leave it outside and not, bring that to your environment. You just can't. So really working on the environment and making sure everything runs smoothly is just what we do. And we just want to continue to be successful and make money. So we try to make sure it stays professional. We try our best. Like, I get clients from all walks of life, and they already had issues, and sometimes their hair is their last resort to making them feel better. So it's my job to do that, and I have to do that. Like, you know, it's just something that I have to do, and I enjoy doing it. And I don't really mind having a conversation with a customer or having a conversation with a stylist that's going to make them feel better, because I'm at the end of the day, I'm here to help people and just make money doing it. That's all. I'm here to help you and make money while I'm doing it.
Absolutely. Now, your sister Robin, before she got off the phone, she talked a lot about, well, she talked a little bit about, you know, if you want to become a makeup artist, what you need to do. If you want to become a photographer, what you need to do. So if you want, if someone out there wants to be a hairstylist, what should they do? And if someone wants to be a salon owner, what should they do?
Well, definitely, if you want to be a salon, I'm going to start with the salon owner question. If you want to be a salon owner, you have to know something about hair. You don't necessarily have to be a hairstylist, but you have to know something about hair. You have to be an organized person, and you have to already know that
it's a possibility that first 5 years you're not going to make any money, but you have to look at it as an investment and that you're going to stick in there and you're going to open the best establishment and have the best establishment possible. Because we know that sometimes things open and they close, but you have to give it your all. As far as being a hairstylist, if you know at a younger age, and if you don't know it at a younger age, it's best to start it early because it takes time to build clientele, and practice makes perfect. The more you do something, the better you get at it, and it's just like a second nature for you. It becomes something that you can just do with your eyes closed. So if anybody that wants to do hair, I encourage that. But you have to, you know, practice your craft. You have to get good at your craft. You have to continue to study. You have to continue to take classes. Just kind of step outside your environment sometimes. It's even good to even visit another city and see what they're doing, or, you know, visit another country and see what they're doing. It's good to always be in a magazine, always be in a hair magazine, and things like that. That's what I can suggest someone that wants to do hair.
Now, if someone's looking for a hair school, is there something in particular they need to be looking for in a school, hair school?
You know what? Honestly, I think I guess you can go on and research the reviews about a hair school. I have had people tell me that it's really expensive, and I don't know if they still offer this, but I know a few years back they were offering it that you can do an apprenticeship. If someone wants to do hair, I think it's really good for you to get that hands-on and work in the salon and see if someone has, like, a senior cosmetologist license or something like that where you can actually see and hear and look and be able to, you know, do things. I think it's really better that way to get it. But, I mean, you know, that'll save you on, like, trying, you know, paying and things like that. I don't think you get paid, and I think it's a little long process, maybe 2.5 years, but at least you get that experience. Like, you know, if a young girl has an aunt or somebody that does hair, go ask her if you can work in her spot. You know, go ask her if you can, you know, answer the phone or, you know, my receptionist, not to put her out there, she's over 60. That lady know everything. She's only been working for me for 2 years. But she knows how to perm. She knows how to curl. She knows what wavy, curly, straight hair is. She knows what she knows. Like, she knows, like, just from being around and watching. So when you put yourself in certain situations and environment, you're bound to pick up. You're bound to pick up a tool. You're bound to pick up a skill.
Right.
Absolutely.
So if you're gonna research a school, just check out the reviews and, you know, just ask some questions. If you do know somebody that owns a salon, it's best to try to work up underneath of somebody that owns a salon because that way you get more hands-on as opposed to a school. A school is good too, but it's better to get that hands-on in a salon.
And even if you do an apprenticeship versus going to school, you still have to take the state board
you
exam.
Still can take the test. It's about getting your hours. You have to make sure you put your time in, get your hours, you know, things like that. And then you still have to take a test. You do.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you have to take a test.
Yes, I just put that out there so people who are thinking, well, maybe I'll go the apprenticeship route, I just want you to know that you're not going to get around taking that test.
Right. You still got to take the test, and you still got to, you know, get your hours. Like, you know, you still have to do that. Like, it's still going to be the same almost as school, but it's kind of, you're just more doing more work. You might even have to work for that person. From what I know that you work in a salon for free. So don't think that it's going to be all song and dance.
Right.
You're going to have to work there for free. And you're going
you
to have to do
tipped,
what they say and be there on time.
Right. Right. Just like a regular job. It's like a real job.
Like a regular job, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Well, one last final question, and we always ask all of our guests this. What is beauty to you?
Oh, okay. Well, beauty to me may not be what most people think of beauty, but beauty to me is just, it's within. Beauty to me is, you know, seeing my family every day. Beauty to me is giving back to somebody. Beauty to me is just being the best mean what's inside out and having a great heart. And if you're beautiful, inside, that outside will shine through. Because we know you can be physically, you can be beautiful.
Right.
But if that inside is ugly, you're not beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much. We really enjoyed this conversation tonight.
Yes, it was great.
Yeah, we'll have to get you and Robin back on when you both can be on for the whole conversation so we can kind of learn a little bit about the two of you when you're working together.
Okay.
Yeah. But so maybe I'm on my way. I'm in Atlanta now, but I'm on my way back to Baltimore in a couple of days, so maybe I'll get a chance to stop by your salon.
Sure, that would be great.
When I get back, because I'll miss you on Tuesday when you guys come through here.
Okay, perfect.
So,
and
okay.
how can we / me get the hair, get your hair?
Okay, well, I do have a website. It's celebutonhair.com, and it's www.celebutonhair.com, and that's where you can order your hair. And also, as far as the tours, you guys can email me at Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, at celebutonhair.com, and you can email me your questions, and I'll let you know what city I'm going to be in. And also, I always post the information on my Twitter, which is celebutonhair, and my Instagram. Instagram is really good when I'm posting about, you know, what cities I'm going to be in. I know for a fact that I am going to be in New York soon, but I don't know the date just yet. So it was great speaking with you girls.
Yeah. We appreciate
it.
And we'll be getting in touch with you soon. But also, if you have any information, again, about where you're going to be and all that, be sure to hit us up, email, call us, whatever, and we'll make sure we get the information out there.
I definitely will. I really appreciate this interview, guys. Thank you.
Oh,
no problem.
Thank you again. Have a great night.
All right, you too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you guys for listening tonight. For those of you who enjoyed tonight's conversation, go out and mark it as a favorite here on our Blog Talk Radio profile, where you can leave your comments and questions on our Facebook Beauty Talk Online Radio page as well. Follow us on Twitter at @beauty_talk. And for Fame Expo tickets in June, I believe my sister Denise can tell you all about how you can get them.
Just really quickly in the beauty news, I wanted to remind everyone, if you're in the Miami area, I mentioned this last week, or if you're planning to go down to Miami, the Miami Fashion Week starts Wednesday, March 20th, and ends on Sunday, March 24th. And if you're interested in Fame Expo tickets, you can go online to fameexpo.com. That's PHAMEXPO.com to get more information on the expo itself and how to purchase tickets and for the cost of the tickets. And some of the keynote speakers will be Valente Frazier, Donna Mee. I think Lime Crime is going to have a representative from their company, as well as everyone's favorite Kevin James Bennett will be there as well. And again, this is not just a makeup trade show. There will also be hair and nail vendors as well. So stay tuned to Beauty Talk, and you can also stay tuned to the Fame Expo website to get more information on those vendors as they become available. And if you would like to win a one-day ticket to the Fame Expo, be one of the first 5 people to go to our Facebook page, Beauty Talk Online Radio page, and just, you know, say that you heard about the tickets on Beauty Talk, but also give me the names of our two guests from tonight. Give me the names of our two guests from tonight, as well as leaving a message saying that you heard about the Fame Expo tickets on Beauty Talk tonight, and I will contact you and give you a ticket.
And just in case you all forgot, their names are Rachel and Robin. Have a good night, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Good night.
Good night.